God is so good. God is so faithful. And we've got room to grow. And we've got somewhere to go in God. Hallelujah. And listen, I got to tell it to you. We've almost prayed here. I got to tell it to you. Our problem is we're so busy looking at what is happening to other believers or semi-believers or sometime believers. We're so busy judging God's faithfulness by what we see happening in other people. Well, they're praying, nothing's happening. They got this happened to them, this happened to them. I know. That's why you got to read Psalm 91. He said, if you do this, it's not about what's happening to other people. It's about you and me. My provision, my promise, and your commitment to trust me. 1,000 shall fall at your right hand. Or at thy side. And 10,000 at your right hand. There's 11,000 if my math is correct. There's 11,000 that the devil hurt, harmed, decimated, and destroyed. But it shall not come nigh thee. If there's 11,000 defeated, I want to look out. I don't want to look at all that defeat and depression and say, well, that's, I can't expect anything from God. Look what happened to him. Look what happened to her. This is not about them. It's about you and him. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's 11,000 down and there's one standing, I'm going to tell you up front, I want to be that one. I want to represent the faithfulness of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let thine eyes look straight on before thee. Amen. Look neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. The New Testament spins off of that principle and said, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. You better stop right here and pray. Praise God, because I do want the will of the Lord to be done here today. Praise God. I don't know where you're going to head in this new year. I don't know if you're going to stay here, head out to another church. I don't know if you're going to go with us, grow with us, or go find you a comfortable seat somewhere where you're not convicted or ever challenged. There are plenty of churches that will accommodate you. They will get you in on time, get you out on time. Amen. You will come in without the victory. You will leave without the victory, but you won't be challenged because of it, because nobody else has it anyway. And you can meet the status quo of the Christian church today, which is in no way representative of the goodness and greatness of the God that we serve. Or you can be the one standing and bring honor and glory to his great name. I want to be the one standing. Praise God. Listen, you don't have to be in the military in Afghanistan to understand that we are in a war. And it is spiritual and it is very, very real. Can you say amen? And we need the promise and protection that God has given you and given me. Brother, would you? Oh, I feel him here today. We're almost done preaching and we hadn't prayed over the sermon. Handa Marosha. When's the last time you heard a testimony of victory? When is the last time you heard an encouraging word? Somebody saying, my God is on the throne. Jesus is Lord over your circumstance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My heaven is not brass. My God is not unfaithful. Hallelujah. Publish his doings among the people. God did not give you that spirit that is discouraging you to me. God did not give you that spirit. God didn't give you that spirit. Hallelujah. 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 So don't entertain it anymore. Don't coddle it. Don't cradle it in your heart. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, there's a song that says, if the church don't go, won't hinder me, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I said, if the church don't go, if you don't want to go, if you want to live in that place, you'll have to live in it, amen, by yourself. I will never say it's okay. I will never say it's justified. I will never agree that Satan is stronger than my God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll never concede. Brother Willie, I'll never concede. I will never concede and make concessions to the devil. If God commands the blessing, if God is for us, if God be for you, who can be against you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I pray for you. I pray for your family. I pray for my family. I have an expectant spirit. I'm expecting God to move where there's been no indication, no sign that he's even listening. But I expect him to come. Hallelujah. In power, in grace, in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, God told me, don't you even preach until you challenge people to believe me again, trust me again. You know why? Because it's going to fall dead on you. It's going to fall dead on you. The word is going to just fall dead on you. Can you say amen? Because it won't profit you not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. If you don't mix faith with the word of God, it's useless to you. Before I tell anybody anything about Jesus or my God, I want to show them something. I want them to see something. Can you say amen? Mike, when you were sending a letter to the lady with cancer, a colleague of yours, one of the things you probably told her was about your pastor and how God healed and delivered me. Are you glad for a testimony that God still does these things today? Amen. You didn't just tell her about me. You told her what happened to you. Amen. When prayer was offered for you and the doctor looking for some devastating disease after prayer couldn't find it. To let her know there's hope in God. That's what we've got to have. That's what people are longing for, thirsting for, dying without. Attending church that tells them everything that happens to you is in the permissive will of God. So you don't build your faith in believing for any promise that he's given. The promises are not yea and amen. They're null and void because of the emptiness, the defeat, the disease, the devastation, the depression and discouragement. We have to edit the gospel to accommodate it. I don't believe we should edit the gospel to accommodate anything. Can you say amen? I believe we ought to preach the truth from the word of God without apology. God doesn't need me to apologize for why he don't do this and that. God needs me to challenge people to prove him and put him to the test. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in the promise season. The promised Messiah. Promise fulfilled. When the fullness of time had come, God kept a promise to send a Messiah. It was the fulfilling of a promise made. And the promise was made because of a purpose that God had already pre-purposed. And God purposed to send him because when he gave man the right to choose, he gave him a sovereign will. Even angels have that sovereign will. God doesn't have holy robots that is pre-programmed to just serve him. And there are no holy robots in church. You will walk out of here today and you will decide, amen, whether to value him enough to heed his word and to begin to serve him or to devalue him and just go out and do your thing. You will choose, and he gave you the right to choose. And he was astonished at the choices that people would make many times. And when God, who knows everything, is astonished at the way man would use that privilege of choice, he sent prophets to ancient Israel, and the prophets would prophesy, and God would watch them choose the wrong way. He would promise them blessing to choose the right way, protection and provision, and watch them worship false gods and walk in rebellion. And he said, come, come, let us reason together, saith God. Though your sins were scarlet, they can be white as snow. Red like crimson, they can be just like wool. If you be willing, he gives you a sovereign will. If you be willing and obedient, it's not just obedience. When a church tried to be obedient without being willing from the heart, he said, your obedience is no good. The church at Ephesus, he commended them for being so obedient to the basic fundamental principles of the faith. You've tried them that say they're apostles and found them to be liars. You're bearing up under persecution. You search the scripture. You stand on my word, but it's not coming from the heart. It's not coming from the heart. You've left your first love. There's a lot of people who have left their first love, but they go to church because they're looking at keeping their foot in the door. If I need a miracle, if I get in a tight place and I really need God's help, at least I kept my foot in the door. If you leave your first love, showing up in church, all of that religious activity, though it's right and requisite, God says, I don't honor it. I look past all of that and I look to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He goes deeper than what we physically promote to him or produce before him. Listen to me carefully. He says, I put two ways before you. Two ways. Only two. So it's, yeah, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. I'm going to put two distinct, clear ways before you. Life and death. Light and darkness. Two ways. Did you know you're on one right now of two roads? You're on a road today. Everybody in this room is on a road. There's a road that leads to life. And there's a road that leads to destruction. AC/DC, the rock group. The words to that song will curl your toenails. Because they're proud of the fact that they're on a highway to hell. And they flaunt the fact that the concept of God and judgment, they don't even know what they're singing about and know what they're talking about. But you're on a road to somewhere today. There are preachers that won't even tell you about that. They won't use the word eternal banishment, eternal punishment. They'll just use the word separated from God. This is far different from just being separated from the Lord. This is eternal torment. You say, Brother Bimble, how can a loving God do that? He gave you a choice. He's not doing it. I put two ways before you. Life and death, blessing, commanded blessing, or cursing. See, what Christians don't realize is you can't be in the middle ground. You can't just get by Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do what I command you this day, these blessings shall come upon you and they shall overtake you. I will command the blessing on your storehouse. That commanded blessing is ours. But listen, the commanded curse is just as commanded and just as authoritative. If you don't want to listen and you want to be a rebel and you want to do your own thing, these curses are come upon you in the city, in the field. And I'll command the curse on your cattle and I'll command it on your storehouse. You read the same book I do? We think we've got multiple choices. I can do this and still be blessed. I can do this and it'll be okay. He said, no, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. I put two ways before you. Only two. Blessing and cursing. Life or death. And he was astonished. He said, choose life. Choose blessing. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I remember a song that was made popular in England by an up-and-coming artist, 27 years old, Amy Winehouse. She was a hot item in England and becoming a hot item here. She became an alcoholic and a drug addict. And she went from a very attractive young woman to just a sick-looking soul. And one of her defiant songs when they told her, you need to get in rehab. You need to get cleaned up. This is going to kill you. People who loved her, cared about her, knew it's killing you. And you know what her hit record was in England and partially here? No, no, no. Ain't going to rehab. I said, no, no, no. That's the theme. That is the theme. You've heard it. Ain't. How's it go? No, no, no. Her daddy wants to go to rehab. He's telling, no, no, no. I'll be just fine. Give me what I want. I'll do it. And I will somehow beat the law of sowing and reaping. I'll beat the law. Listen, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why? Because God watches over his laws and his word to perform it. Can you say amen? No, no, no. Hear the defiance. Ain't going to rehab. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. It's my life. When I grew up, it wasn't Amy, by the way, at 27 years old, she died of alcohol poisoning. She drank herself, drank so much liquor it poisoned her system, and she died at 27. And I say that with a broken heart because a young woman with obvious talent and a future and money and fame couldn't find in the promise of the world what can only be found in the promise of Jesus Christ. It's not out there. The world can't give it to you, can't fulfill it because they don't have it to give. They don't have fulfillment to give. They don't have peace. They'll tell you. The world system will tell you. Satan is the head of this system. And he showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world. And he said, bow down and worship me. And I can give you the kingdoms of this world. I have influence in this fallen world. And Jesus said, you only worship God. He quoted Deuteronomy 3 times to him. Listen to me carefully. This is such a season where the world is once again promising peace that it can't give. There's going to be songs about a peace that this world can't obtain. And by the way, the stage is set for a man who's going to come and say, I can bring peace to this earth. I can bring it. The Antichrist, I believe, is alive and well and living and being prepped to step onto the scene. Because the world we live in is war weary. We're tired. And the great ideal of this world is world peace. World peace, world peace, world peace. The cry for peace is everywhere. And at Christmas, the cry for peace is everywhere. But not from the Prince of Peace. They're looking for someone, some system to bring a peace. And you know what the Bible said about that? Amen. It said there's a lot of end time events, but the very end is not yet. But here's what marks the very end. When they cry, peace and safety. When they think without God and without Christ that man has achieved peace by his own ingenuity, can you say, man, his own intelligence, his own ability to work together with other nations. By the way, that you talk about a diplomat, someone that can bring people together and solve problems. The devil that's stirring up all the problems in the world is going to cooperate with the Antichrist. And nations that can't find solutions to get along with one another, when he steps on the scene and he sits down with them at a table, amen, the devil himself is going to draw back his demons of war and dogs of war, and a false peace is going to be coming to this earth. And when, without Christ, they cry peace and safety. When the world says, we're living in peace and safety now, we've got rid of all of these things that interrupt peace now. We've got one world government, one world monetary system. Now we got peace, nations in cooperation. Then shall sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. A woman with child is going into labor. As sure as she's pregnant with the child, she's going into labor. And as sure as that's going to occur, he said, judgment is going to occur. And it's going to occur not while there's wars and rumors of wars. He said these things are going to precede it, but when the very end comes, it's when the Antichrist is in control and the world looks like a utopia, and everybody without God and without Christ is saying peace and safety. Finally, a man has come to bring sense and reason to the nations of the world. And the world is being prepped for that man to step on the scene. But the church is being prepped for Jesus Christ to come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is getting his church ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to me today. Amen. So here we are at this Christmas season, this time of year, receiving a promise. Listen, God said this, I put two ways before you. I put two ways before you. I put two ways before you. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says, choose life. For why will you die, O house of Israel? He said, I take no pleasure, make no mistake about it. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It hurts him to see these choices that's going to bring destruction. No! 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 Ain't going to rehab. 27 years old. Did God want to hurt her? No, God wanted to help her. Did God want her to die young? No, God wanted to save her and give her a life, and that more abundantly. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I actually grew up in the 50s also. I was born in the 40s, grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I remember all of those things from those days. Me and my friend right here. Amen. I call him old school because we're old school. Amen. Listen to me. I'm an old school preacher. You know why? Because there's no new school. They can try to edit it. They can try to make it fit into the culture. But the gospel has never fit into the culture of a fallen world. And it never will. Amen. But a fallen world, people can come out of that world and fit into kingdom culture. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. This is so important that you use your will and you make the right choices. Amen. Because make no mistake about it. You and I are not a victim of circumstance. We are the recipients of seed that we are sowing day in and day out in our life. It is not all the devil. It is the devil will get us to choose the wrong path, but it's the law of God that's either blessing or cursing. You didn't hear me. You can't blame the devil for everything. You have to own it. You've got to own your sin. You've got to own your attitude. You got to own your disobedience. Well, why don't God bless me? Well, where are you walking? What is your choice? He said, there's a road that I promised to bless. In fact, I've commanded the blessing on it. Why don't you walk that road? Why don't you forget about your flaky friends and the culture and follow me so I can keep you, protect you, provide for you, and bless you. Woo! Devil ain't that big. Devil can't override God. The devil ain't that strong. You can't blame the devil for your defeat forever. And you can't keep questioning God. You need help from him. You don't need to accuse him. You need to trust him. You need to obey him. The Bible said in the Old Testament he sent prophets to Israel. Said they closed their ear. Everybody in here knows how to do it. One preacher was praying one time at the end of the service, and he happened to look up, and everybody's looking at him, you know, just staring him down. And he's getting ready to pray that prayer and close the service, and everybody just staring him down. And you know, he was going to say, every head bowed. And I don't know why they say that. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you know. And he got confused looking at all them sourpuss faces looking at him. And he said, every head, every eye bowed and every head closed. Every head closed. Every eye bowed and every head closed. People know how to tune out the gospel. They know how to turn off what God is saying. They close their ear. But God is persistent. The Bible said not only did they close their ear, they quit listening. See, he says, come, let us reason together. You can see him putting forth his hand on their shoulder to talk with them, to urge them, encourage them, to choose right so he could bless them and so they wouldn't be harmed. And the Bible said they pulled away the shoulder. Honey, there's a lot of people pulling away the shoulder. Come, let us reason together. They pull away the shoulder. They pull away the shoulder. Let me go to a church where I'm not challenged. Let me go to a church where they don't confront me with what the scriptures say. They don't challenge me to follow Christ. Amen. They allow me to revel in my sin and tell me that I'm okay. Honey, I don't want to be in a church where somebody loves the money and the applause more than he loves the souls of the people sitting under the ministry. Can you say amen? Man. Hallelujah. I worked out of 40 years of ministry. I was bivocational for 12 of those years. I used to say, if I have to go back to work and to preach the truth because people won't support it, I will go back to work before I will compromise on what the Word of God says. Because I'm going to answer for the souls. I'm going to answer to God for those souls. Can you say amen? And I went back to work. And I worked 5 days a week and never missed a Sunday here. Amen. And never missed a hospital appointment either. I arranged funerals around my job. I didn't take any pay raises after all of those 12 years. I did not advance so I could be here in church. And God blessed me. And God kept me. And God made a way. And I don't regret it. I'm laying up something, amen, for my future right now. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that free at last. Amen. That mortgage paid for. That car paid off. Free to serve God without the pressure of all this other stuff. There is a place in God where he can bless you to that degree. But you can't pull away the shoulder and close your ears. The Bible said that you should give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. I'm not here to tell you something new and extraordinary and different, but to tell you to start acting on what you know. Because most people in this room know there is a right way. Amen. And all we got to do is make the decision, the quality commitment that I'm going to walk in. That's what the prophets were told to delineate that way. To say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. God makes it plain. God makes it clear. His word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. We're not meandering around in life. We have an illuminated way. And he said, choose that path and I'll bless you. Choose it, choose it, choose it, choose it. Why would you die? Amen. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few. Make no mistake about it. This is what Jesus said. This is not some conclave of religious leaders deciding who's saved and who isn't. This is what Christ said, who knows who's saved and who isn't. He said, if you think there's a whole bunch of people because such a religious attitude are going to heaven, you're wrong. Straight is the gate. Narrow the way that leads to life. Few. Say it with me, few. I told you a while ago, if 11,000 are down and one is standing, I want to be one of the few that make it. I want to be one of the few that has victory. I want to be one of the few that God helps in this life. Hallelujah. And holds for thy future. Pray. But broad is the way. And wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. I make no mistake about it. The highway of holiness is the steep, narrow road. Straight doesn't mean just delineated. It's not the azimuth. As back in Vietnam, they talked about it shooting an azimuth. An azimuth was a straight line. Amen. And it's not about that kind of straight. Straight is talking about going against the grain, going against the pressure. Amen. Have you ever heard of someone being in a tough condition and under pressure? They're in dire straits. Straight is the way. Yeah, that's just, I know, money for nothing. Chicks for free. I didn't know they raised chickens. But anyway, moving right along. You're in dire straits. Straight is the way. This is not the easy believism path. This is the deny yourself, take up your cross, and commit to follow him path. Easy believism says you can keep your sin, never repent, and go to heaven. That is not that way. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And people are buying into it because many shall go in thereat. And many will say to him on that day, what am I doing here at the judgment bar? What am I doing here? Lord, Lord! And he said to them, depart from me. Depart from me. You that work iniquity. I never knew you. See, it's going to take more than your claim on Jesus. He's got to acknowledge you. And he does when you come and receive him as your Savior. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and his angels. But if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you. You can't go to church on Sunday and be going to God's secret agents on Monday. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, I'm a secret agent for God. I don't want nobody at work to know I'm a Christian. That way I can get and just be accepted by everybody at work. I don't want the atheist to know that I don't believe in God. I don't want the agnostic to know that I have faith in Jesus. Amen. I don't want the Satanist to know it. I don't want the modernist to know it. And confessing him is not just what you say with your mouth. It's what you do with your life. Can you say amen? No one is sinlessly perfect. But everyone that is saved should have a perfect bent toward righteousness. Can you say amen? I choose to walk on the King's highway. I choose to walk on that narrow way. I choose to go against the wind. I choose the path of blessing and not of cursing. And I've never regretted one step of the way. The contrary winds still blow. Amen. It's still steep. And sometimes, amen, I'm like that pilgrim, that weary soldier. I get weary. Amen. And I go to God for times of refreshing. Amen. But listen, I ain't no ways tired in my spirit. Sometimes emotionally I'm spent. Physically I'm spent. But in my spirit, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They will run. There's a song you can't sing if you wait on the Lord. Well, I'm tired and so weary. But I must go on. No, 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 no. That's not the way to live in victory. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not get tired, get weary. They shall walk and not get weary. They will run and not faint. They will mount up with wings as an eagle. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing, choose the right path and you'll have heaven's resources. Everything you need to overcome, God will grant you, but you and you alone have to make the choice. Amen. You have to choose. Choose you this day. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. Not tomorrow, next week, here and now. Who you will serve. Are you going to do like your fathers that fell away from God? Are you going to serve false gods? Are you going to serve Baal and Baalism? If Baal is God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, if Jehovah is God, if Jesus is Lord, serve him. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. Everybody in this room needs to get that attitude. Some of you are in families that you're the only one serving God. Hang in there because you're the only hope for the rest of them. You're the one that's interceding. You're the one that's praying. You're the one that's covering them with prayer. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Joshua 24:15, choose you this day who you're going to serve. If the Lord is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. Amen. But as for me, regardless of what you do, irregardless of what the crowd does, this is not a democracy anymore. This is not about a consensus anymore. Amen. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve God. You come to my house, you come into a Christian home. If you can't handle it, just don't come around. But if you come through that threshold, you're coming into a Christian home. That's right. That's right. That's right. You're going to have to leave your booze in the cooler in the car. You can drink all of that stuff you want when you leave, but not while you're in my house. Amen. Not in my house. Not in my house. Baal isn't my God. Amen. The devil isn't my king. Jesus is my Lord. Say, Brother Venable, you ain't showing love. Oh, you're very wrong. I love them enough to let them know they'll damn your soul. It'll kill your marriage. It'll take your life young. There's a better path. And I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can stand and intercede for my children. Because I've trained them up in the way that they should go. They got to choose, but I've trained them up. I didn't lower the standard to accommodate their sin. Hallelujah. And my son loves and respects his daddy. I didn't have to knock him through the door. Because he knew I would. And I never did it. No, I didn't read Dr. Joyce Brothers' book. I'm sorry, I just read the Bible. The only thing I had to go by was the Word of God. My house. Me and my house. I'm a pastor in the church right now. This is the house of God. This is his house now. You know what happened in the temple? When they turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves, he braided a whip. Oh, this doe-eyed Jesus, it just puts up with everything and just goes along with that, that's going to send your soul to hell. No, he braided a whip. He was deliberate. He didn't lose his temper. This was righteous indignation and righteous judgment from God. He braided a whip. He made himself a whip out of rope. He came out there, and there was money tables set up where they were, you know, you exchange your money. When you come in, your money don't match. I had to do that when I was doing missionary work in Haiti. I exchanged American money for Haitian money and then tried to figure out how much I had. Looked like I had a bunch, but I didn't. Amen. You ever done that? It looked like I had a bunch of money, and I said, how much is this worth? It ain't worth much. Well, I paid a lot for it. Can you say amen? and there were hornswogglers and hoodwinkers in there just making profit for themselves in the house of prayer, a holy place. And you know what he did? Judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. Jesus braided a whip. And evidently they were very threatened by him, because he came in the authority of God Almighty. Amen. And he kicked over the money tables. He just kicked them over. He turned them over. I don't know how he did it. I know how I'd do it. Can you say amen? He's probably a lot more upset than I would be. Said he overturned the money tables. And then he had that whip in his hand. And he run a bunch of jaybirds out of the temple. Said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. As for me, my house. Timid, job scared, professional preachers. They don't care what goes on in God's house. Amen. Because they're job scared. They cross this one or that one. They're either going to quit supporting. They're going to withhold their tithe. They're either going to go somewhere else, or they're going to have a boat and get rid of them and send them packing. They'll never hear, amen, what you're hearing this morning. They'll never hear it from his mouth. He's going to have to uproot his children, his home, his payday, and go out there and beg a job from some other church. And he's going to have to bend to whatever they want him to be in order to get the job, because this is his profession, not his calling, appointing, and anointing. You get a hold of a God-called man, he'll work a job 7 days a week if he has to in order to preach the truth when he gets the opportunity. But when you hear from him, you're going to hear the unadulterated word of God that can save your soul and bless your life. I grew up in the 70s. Jimi Hendrix was my man. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. It's the drug culture, the trip out, turn on and trip out. I remember I was listening to an album just before I came to Jesus. And Jimi Hendrix had fame and fortune. He had people coming by the droves to hear him play his guitar, get high on drugs. And he was in heavy into hallucinogenic and other drugs, part of the drug culture. I went to a concert at the old Curtis Hickson Hall. And he was there, and we had barely enough money to get pork and beans, but we scraped up money to go to that concert. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I know if you want to give, you can give. You give to what you want, and you find a way to get it. We were about to go hungry, but we ended up at that concert. Boy, I was happy. I put on I had a turtleneck white sweater, the only thing I owned that looked halfway new. And I put on that new-looking turtleneck white sweater, put on some little sport coat too little for me. Amen. Pair of pants that come up to where you can see my socks, you know. But I was ready to go. I'm going to a Hendrix concert. I didn't have no drugs, so I couldn't do any. But I was, you know, I was down with anything. I was open. I was open season. Whatever's culture's doing, that's what. My background was Christian, raised in church, but now I'm out on my own. I can do my own thing. Amen. I can do my thing now. I don't have to do God's thing. Do my thing. Amen. I'm sitting down at Curtis Hickson. He comes out higher than a kite. And he plays two or three sets. You know, you paid for a concert. You got parked. You got in that place. He does about 3 songs out of a 20-song set. And you know what? People are running up because they're taking flash bulbs. Back in, it was bulbs. Old flash bulbs in them camera going on. And he looked at them like, you're disrespecting me. I'm right in the middle of my big set. He's higher than a kite. And he just stops playing his game. Stage goes quiet. They're still there with their flash bulbs looking at their idol, worshiping and serving creature more than creator. Amen. And you know what? You know what he did? He gave the bad finger. I won't show you, but you know which one it is, okay? I don't have to illustrate this, right? Right, okay. He gave the bad finger from both hands to the whole audience that paid to get in to hear him and wanted to see their great entertainer. He gave the bad finger to all of us and turned around and walked off the stage. And everybody's sitting there thinking, what is his problem? We love him. We want to hear him. We want his picture. We want his autograph. We want to be like him. I went home and put on one of his albums. And in that album, there was a lyric to a song that told me after I got saved, I remembered it, and I looked back to see where he was and why he ended up where he did. No sun coming through my window. Manic depression is a frustrated mess. That's what he said. Here's this depressed man with fortune and fame and everything the world said is going to make you happy. No sun, 27. You know how he died? He choked on his own vomit because he was too high on drugs to clear his throat. Janis Joplin, 27 years old. Something about this, and here's God saying, there's a better way. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. He's a liar, and he's the father of it. But I came to tell you the truth. Amen, and the truth, obeyed and applied, will set you free. Can you say, man? Here's the lyric. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. I believe it was the cry of his tormented soul. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. And then the chorus kicked in with all the guitar and the beat. I don't live today. Maybe tomorrow. I just can't say. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. And when someone comes to rescue the perishing, and they close their ear, and they turn away the shoulder. And the Bible said, and when they did it, something happened in their heart. Their hearts became hard as an adamant stone. That's a diamond hard. That's rock hard. The Bible said because of the closing of the ear, because of the pulling away of the shoulder, the Bible said their conscience, that God appeals to. Can you say, man, when he convicts you? Glory to God. Their conscience became seared as a hot iron, cauterized to where they can't feel conviction. They don't feel the drawing power of God. I've had people ask me, why doesn't God judge so many people that are not only rejecting him, but blaspheming him and shaking their fist at heaven? Why doesn't he judge? He has, and he is, and that judgment is in the land now. And it's not a tidal wave, it's not an earthquake, it's not a Vesuvius erupting and killing people before they could even move out of their houses. That's not the way it came. It's worse than that. It's worse. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, tells you the judgment that is here now. Now. It's in your New Testament. You won't hear it from many circles. You know why? Because it's a hireling. And what happens when the wolf comes? I have no personal investment in the sheep. Their only worth to me is the money I get for watching them. And I'm not going to put my life or limb on the line for them. Can you say, man, the hireling does what when the wolf comes? He flees. What does the good shepherd do? He said, if you're going to hurt them, you're going to have to go through me. Amen. You're going to have to kill me, in fact, before you can kill one of them. Because I'm going to stand between you and them. Can you say, man, I do not want to hear what I want to hear in church. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the Bible teaches. I want to go to heaven. I do not want to be die in defeat before I go to heaven. I want to live in victory. Hallelujah. And I want to glorify his name. And I want the blessing upon my life. Hallelujah. And I want to die the death of the righteous. It's a good death. Let me die the death of the righteous, because it's a good death. There's no defeat in it. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! The wicked flee when no man pursues them. They're so filled with fear. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Even in the face of death, they're bold. Death! Paul had his swagger on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Death! Where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. You ain't going to touch me. Touch this body. That's all it's going to touch. Can't touch this. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't have my baggy pants on. I'm not even going to attempt. There's nothing better than the gospel. There's nothing better than the King's highway. Can you say amen? Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. I'm one of those. I've found it. Amen. The Bible said on that highway in the Old Testament, the lame man there. There is a highway. It's called the highway of holiness. Amen. And the lame man on that highway shall leap as the young deer. And the eyes of the blind will see. Can you say, man, there's victory, there's healing, and there's help on this highway. Between here and heaven, God is keeping covenant with his children. It's the best way. Hallelujah. If he is, not only is it the only way, it's the best way. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Because when they knew God, they would not worship him as God, but worshiped and served creature more than creator. When they knew, and make no mistake about it, God knows what we know. Atheist says, I can't believe. That's phony baloney. The heavens declare his handiwork. They refuse to believe. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Can't believe is a lie out of the pit of hell. Because Jesus lights every man that comes into this world. Every person born through the womb of a woman has enough light to believe, see, and believe the gospel. We have, but we're choosing. We're choosing. We're choosing. We're choosing. You're going to go out of here and make choices. You're going to go out of here and please your friends and drink with them and get high with them and carouse with them, or you're going to go out here to the beat of a different drummer. You're going to choose. You're going to choose a path. As a Christian, you're going to choose blessing or cursing before you leave this building. And it's going to reflect in your life and mine, no matter what you say. And you can blame demons or blame God. But you, until you own your sin, you're not going to be able to be forgiven. And the only way to repent for forgiveness is not say, I'm sorry. It's to change direction. You know what repent would be if I was in the military? It would be about face. I'm on this road. It's the wrong road. I know it's the wrong road. How am I going to get right with God? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm on the wrong road. I'm going to stay on it because I love my pet sins. No, 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 no. Repentance is this. Amen. I can't do it on the rug, but you hit your heel. You turn the other way. The moment you turn the other way, the moment you make the choice, do it. Can you still do it? He's pretty stiff. Let's see if he can do it. All right, okay, he almost fell over. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. One step forward. Pirouette. Hallelujah. Turn around. Oh, somebody said, Brother Venable, when you preach, you rub the cat the wrong way. You rub the fur the wrong way. I've got an answer for all those folks. Turn the cat around. Turn the cat around. And what rubs you the wrong way will be soothing you and smoothing you and petting you. Yeah. Give me life. I want life. I want blessing, not cursing. Life and not death. I choose life. I choose light, not darkness. Oh, this, my great-grandmother, as we close, 15th closing, but listen, my great-grandmother, she loved the Lord, but she got out of church. She got to where, I don't feel so good. I'm not going to church. Well, when she was dying, she'd never received the Holy Ghost, believed in it, went to a Pentecostal church, but she didn't ever receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. She was in her deathbed. She's failing. She would get cold. She says, I'm so cold. She's such a sweet lady. My wife would crawl in bed with her just to warm her with her body and just lay with her and talk soothing to her. She's done that for her mother when her mother was in hospice. My wife said, "Can I get in bed with my mama?" And the lady said, "Sure you can." She got in bed and stroked her head and sang to her as she went on to glory. Let me die the death of the righteous. So my meemaw, she's 92. She broke her hip. She didn't recover from it or broke whatever. Anyway, it made her stop. As long as she was going, she kept going. But when she stopped, she just stopped. And she said, "Bobby, one thing I regret, I regret when I could go to church, I didn't go to church. I'm going to tell you, a day will come that if you find other things more important, a day will come when this will become all important. Because you're going to stand before the God that saved you and loved you. And you want to let him know that he had a place in your life that wasn't just seeing if you could fit him in. Can you say, man, that he had some place in your life that showed worth, value on what he did for us at the cross?" And she wanted that back, couldn't get it back. And I told her, just tell him you're sorry and get past that. God loves you. He saved you. She said, "I've never received the Holy Ghost." And she's on her deathbed. She has not days, but probably hours to live. And I said, "Well, we can solve that right here too." I said, "Meemaw, let's pray God fill you with the Spirit." She said, "Okay." We laid hands on her and prayed together, and the Holy Ghost came up. She sat up, then she got up, stood up, and started singing. "Let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord." And her eyes lit up, her face began to shine. It was an old hymn from way back in the mountains. "Let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord. Let's go on." And then she started doing this. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And what did she do? She danced. She danced before the Lord. Here's a dying woman off her deathbed dancing before the Lord. Speaking in other tongues. Oh, let me die the death of the righteous. Get right with God and live for Him. And love Him and serve Him and get on the King's highway. The lame man there shall leap as the hart. And when she laid back down, she never got up. She slipped away peacefully into his presence with a satisfied soul. Can you say, man, with a satisfied soul? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. She didn't die embracing some dead, comfortless religion, but a living Christ who could love her all the way home. With a smile on her face. In holy anticipation. Praise God. My mother, when she was passing, I led her to the Lord in the last year of her life. I led her to Christ. I prayed for her for years. Prayed the sinner's prayer with her, but she just went along with it for my sake. But when God drew her because of intercession, she said, "Bobby," I walked in one day in the nursing home. She said, "Bobby, don't you think it's about time I received Jesus?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Are you ready right now?" She said, "Yes, I am." God gave her presence of mind, even though she had dementia, but she came into complete, lucid presence of mind to receive Jesus. And she received Jesus, and she was different after that. She was different after, even with the dementia of the mind, her spirit had changed. Hallelujah. And when she was getting ready to pass, she grew up without embrace. She grew up without love. She grew up with some real abuse, actually, mentally and physically in her home. Drunkenness and being beat with the buckle end of a belt from someone who came home drunk and was angry. And that's how she grew up. She grew up without love and affection. But her grandpa was different. He loved all those children. He reached out to them. He hugged them. And he was a good man. I talked to my dad about him. I didn't know much about him. But her grandpa was a good, godly man. And so he went home to heaven in the old Browning Theater watching Flash Gordon. Buster Crabb played Flash Gordon. Oh, you wouldn't believe the special defects, because they were not effects. They showed a rocket ship. You could see the string holding it up. And the flame that's supposed to be coming out the back was going up. But everybody got excited. That's the best they could do. He just went to sleep. They got everybody out of the theater, went to wake him up. He'd gone to heaven. But when she was passing, she said, what did she say, Pamela, about Grandpa? She said, I see Grandpa. I see Grandpa. God let her look beyond the veil. She said, I see Grandpa. I see Grandpa. And Grandpa, I said, what's he doing? He said, he's calling me. He's calling me. Come on, Jeanette. Come on. Come on, Jeanette. Come on. I see Grandpa. I see past this world. I see past this temporal world. I see eternity breaking. I see across the river. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. See, all the fear is gone when you see the other side where you're headed. Glory to God. Let me die the death of the righteous. Can you say, man? And let me live the righteous life. Can you say, man? So, I put two ways before you. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Choose life. For why would you die, O house of Israel? Don't close your ears to the word of God. Don't pull away the soldier, your shoulder. I got to finish one scripture. Because they did not, when they knew God, they did not worship Him as God, but worshiped and served creature more than creator. That's why John Lennon said, we're more popular than Jesus, because there was more enthusiasm at a Beatles concert than there was at most church services in America over Jesus Christ. God, here's the judgment. You want to know the judgment that's here from the scripture? God turned them over. If Baal is God, serve him. God turned him over to a reprobate mind. And how was that reflected? How did that attitude reflect in the culture? You believe your Bible? Now, people can get out of that mess, but they can't get out by continuing to close their ears and pull away the shoulder. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What happened in the culture? To do that is unseemly. For men, how did it corrupt the culture? How did it express in the culture? And is it here? Is that judgment here today in our culture? Men left the natural use of a woman. Am I in your Bible? Is this in your Bible? And they didn't just desire one another. It wasn't normal sexual desire. It wasn't an alternative lifestyle. They burned. On US 90, Interstate 4 coming in, there used to be a rest stop near 579. Years ago, they had to tear it down. You know why they tore it down? You know why they tore it down? Because every time people stopped to use the bathroom, they were solicited. They were solicited. Lettuce Lake is such a beautiful setting. I used to go there and get a tan, cop a few rays, and read the scriptures to be alone by myself. I got out there in a lawn chair by myself, way out where, you know, brought it with my car. Thought there's nobody here but squirrels and birds. I can focus on God. And a car pulls up and there's this guy in the car. And I know how you ladies feel. It's an uncomfortable feeling. And this guy's leering at me. He's looking at me to see if I will respond to him in some come on way. They caught a movie star in Tampa with a prostitute In Tampa, he's a movie star, for heaven's sakes. He could have any kind of news people. Burning in lust means, listen, how many partners? As many as I can get. A pop singer. Caught in a bathroom soliciting strangers. There's something wrong. A sexual drive that makes me risk everything. In fact, a restaurant owner in Plant City was caught in that place that they tore down, and it hit the headlines and it hurt him. Congressman in an airport playing footsies with a man. You don't expect that. Pornography is here. People use it to stimulate their sex life. They don't know what it's doing to their mind and their spirit. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer says that essentially we're no different. We're part of the animal kingdom. We're just a higher level. So you cannot control sexual urges. So just go with it and make sure you're protected. Honey, you're not protected from the spiritual and emotional ramifications of sin. So likewise, the woman leaving the natural use of the man shall burn in their lust for one another. That's the judgment that is in the culture reflected today. And it's being accommodated by the culture because it's here. And it's permeating. And it's in churches, in pulpits, in gospel singers. Can you say amen? And it's in the sports area. And everybody who comes out and declares is applauded by the culture. Let no man, I'm going to leave you with this. Let no man deceive you. Neither the fornicator, nor the idolater, nor the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind. This is male prostitution. When I went to Washington, D.C., I stayed near the Capitol Hilton Hotel. And when I walked from where we had our meeting back to my hotel, I went through three blocks of male and female prostitutes. San Francisco, the West Coast, is the capital for male prostitution of the United States. But the East Coast, Washington, D.C., is the East Coast capital. And I had to walk by women soliciting me on one side of the street and men soliciting me on the other side of the street. It was like going through a gamut to get back to my hotel room in Washington, D.C. Crime in Washington, D.C., murder in the nation's capital. Listen, when we keep pushing God back and pushing God away, a judgment begins to come in the land. Is it in your Bible? A man asked me what was my opinion. I said it don't matter that much. I could tell you what it is, but I'll tell you what the scriptures say. And that's not my opinion. And so I read what I just told you out of the book of Romans. And you know what? The consternation. Like, oh no, you're not cool anymore. Yeah, if you don't go along with the culture, you're not cool anymore. You know what I told him? Because I felt it. I felt the Holy Ghost rise up inside of me. I said, listen, you asked me what the Bible said. You asked me what God has to say. And I said, the last time I looked, he's not running for office. You don't vote on what he says is sin or what you say is righteous. Woe to them that call evil good and call good evil. Amen? That put light for darkness and darkness for light. You're going to see more men. One man preaches in a church of 1,500 people in Georgia. He just came out and said, I'm tired of living a lie. His church applauded him. You can stay our pastor. If the blind lead the blind, what happens? Everybody ends up in the ditch. And Satan's destructive work is an ongoing thing. This is no time to preach a sentimental little sermon about a helpless baby in a manger, but a soon coming king. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? I rarely go into these areas. I don't harp on these things, but I will not hold it back. What will happen, Brother Venable, if everybody gets offended and goes to another church? You know what will happen? Here's what's going to happen. I've delivered my soul from the responsibility for your soul. Can you say amen? Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you how much of the counsel of God? The whole counsel. Therefore, I'm pure. Come on, church, I'm pure from the blood of all men. If you go to hell because you choose that road, you can't blame it on me. You say, Brother Bumble, you hit me right between the eyes. Good. I hope it gets from you between the eyes down into the heart. Can you say amen and then into the life? I want you saved. I want you sealed. I want you blessed and not cursed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God purposes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Right now I feel something better than the applause. I feel like he's patting me on the shoulder and says, son, if you'll keep telling the truth, I'll keep making a way for that truth to get to somebody that's going to get saved and get delivered and get set free. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I was down in the dumps. I was deep down in the dumps. I was way down in the dumps. Because when I watch people turn back and not follow Christ and not come to church and go to church where they can hear what they want to hear, amen, and play church, it breaks my heart. When I see people's attitudes, when they hear the word, they pack around a big Bible and then they hear what's inside of it and give me that hard look. It discourages me. In fact, it disgusts me. Because I think this is supposed to be Christian people. They carry a big old Bible around. Big, thick Bible. Leather binding. Then they hear what the thing has to say and look at me like that. I was deep down and way down. Went on the air. Amen. I went up to North Carolina. I got to close. I went up to North Carolina. Supposed to preach at a big denominational church. Got up there and the pastor got cold feet. He's afraid to turn me loose in his pulpit, and I don't blame him. Asked me to come. I traveled to North Carolina, South Carolina, to preach. They called me up on a Saturday night and told me, you can't come to the church you were invited to. I said, well, that's all right. If the Lord don't want me there, I certainly don't want to be there. So that's all right. I got to see the mountains. I'm in the foothills of the Smokies. It's pretty up here. I can't wait to get back to my church. Preaching in some other churches make me love you even more. And just being around them makes me love you anymore. At least you put up with me, right? You know it's the truth, don't you? Don't you know this is the truth? Get that frown off your face. Truth will set you free. I didn't come to give you what you want to hear. I come to give you what God says. You want to hear it? You're special. A little crazy, but you're special. Can you say amen? Because you want to hear it. Come to church. Come to God's house. Hallelujah. Open your heart. Bow to no other God. Hallelujah. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Anyway, so I got that canceled. So they asked me to come. They said, but there's a little Pentecostal church over here that'll let you preach. And I thought, I just don't want to be let preach. Amen. But I said, well, I'm up here anyway. Amen. I'll go over to that little Pentecostal church and preach. I'm a preacher. I came to preach. I didn't have to. I could preach at home, but I came here. I'm up here. He must have something for me. And I went to that little Pentecostal church and I preached for three. Oh, it was a great Sunday morning. They said I was going to be there Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. I thought, boy, we're going to have a time. Because they sang really good. Then I heard one of the musicians had been so excited during the music, really playing well. One of them looked over the other and said, you coming back tonight? He said, nah, I ain't coming. None of the music showed up. And I thought, okay, all right, amen. We ain't got no music. They didn't care enough to even come back to their own church designated meeting. They sure enough don't want to hear me. So I just talked on a God-given victory. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. I taught that for three nights in succession. I didn't expect, you know, much, because it didn't look like much was going to happen. But God was faithful, and His word doesn't return void. On the third night, a lady came up that had been in an accident. Amen. Her neck was fused together, and she was on pain pills, and she took them until they increased them, until they couldn't increase them anymore. And now her body had built up an aversion to the pain medication, and she couldn't get them increased, so she was in constant pain. And she came down for prayer, and she came down all stiff like that, and she got down there, and the Holy Ghost hit me, and the Holy Ghost hit her at the same time. And I went to pray for her, and I didn't know what was wrong with her, but the Holy Ghost did. And I said, "Bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." I remembered that boneyard. You know, can these bones live? Bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Tell them to live. I said, "Bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." And she got that Pentecostal jerk, you know, oh, hallelujah. And I heard bones cracking. And she shouted and went back to her chair. And then the pastor's wife come up. And she said, "Oh, thank you for coming. We need teaching. We need teaching. We need teaching." She was hungry. She was hungry. She said, "God bless you for coming, Pastor Venable." And then I got that letter in the mail from that lady in South Carolina. She said, "I was for 1 year in constant pain, and it had fused together from whiplash, and they had given and done everything they could do. They said it was inoperable, and I couldn't take any more pain medication." She said, "The night that you prayed for me, God healed my neck, and I have never had a pain or a pill from that day till now. And I want to report what God has done." And I thought, you know something? I'm glad I didn't go to the big formal church that was too ashamed to have your little old preacher come in with nothing but the Holy Ghost. Can you see? Nothing but the Holy Ghost. And then I went on radio up there. I said, "This is fertile ground." 6 weeks on radio in that little town in South Carolina, 50 miles from Charlotte. Nothing. No response. So I told him, you know, we expected maybe a letter or something, or some testimony, but His word will not return void. But accomplish that He sent it to do, and it will prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. Amen. So I was feeling good about this, but bad about that. And I'm just wondering about media. I wouldn't be in media right now. I wouldn't have the courage, strength, or faith that it would work unless these events had occurred. But I got that letter in the mail from Charlotte, North Carolina. And there's a lady. She said, "I was listening to the broadcast in Charlotte, North Carolina." She said, "I'm homosexual, and I want to be a Christian. But I believe this is wrong, and it's going to get in the way, and I don't believe I can change myself." And I didn't preach one message on homosexuality or the gay lifestyle. I preached one message that she heard of David facing a giant, amen, and slaying that giant with the anointing of the Spirit of God that was on him. Can you say amen? And I said, "Whatever the giant is in your life, no matter what it is, God is greater. And if you want to be free from anything, though it be a giant, God will, by His Spirit, He will give you victory." She said, "I claimed that victory. When I pulled out from that stoplight, I prayed, and my giant fell." Can you say amen? Woo! Hallelujah! I thought, "Lord, You're so wonderful. You are so mighty. The power of God is still greater than the power of the enemy." God is calling people to serve Him. The judgment is here, and the culture is reflecting the judgment that is in the land for the abject rejection of the word of God, the closing of the ear, the pulling away of the shoulder, and the heart becoming hardened. And God said, "If you want it that way, you can have it, just like Burger King. If you want the world, you can go get it. But I'm telling you where that's going to lead you. And I'm offering you a better way. But you got to choose. You must choose. You must choose. You've got to make a choice." And everybody that walks out of this room, you're going to live, you're going to make choices. And let me tell you something, You're going to live with the choice you make. Nobody else is going to live with it but you. You're going to live with the consequences of it. And you can't blame God. And you can't blame Satan because you're making the choice. Can you say amen? If you're going to follow me, Jesus said, deny yourself. Don't let your flesh rule you or the culture. Take up your cross and come and follow me. And you know what they said to him that is sacrificed to follow him? They said, we've left all to follow you. Jesus looked back and said, you lack anything? No, nothing that's really important, nothing that really fulfills, nothing that really matters. I haven't lacked anything to follow him. Praise God. Would you bow your heads just for a holy moment? How many people in this room want to walk on the King's highway in the midst of this fallen world and this corrupted culture, this wicked and perverse generation? Judgments are in the land, and the culture is reflecting that the judgments have come. It's in our culture. It's in our families. It's in our churches. It's in our pulpits. It's in the gospel singers that stand in churches and grew up in church. And it's pervasive. And it's continuing. And there's not an outcry from pulpits in America. And when there is, we're accused of not loving. Because people don't want to hear that God is the one that says what's right and what is wrong and what is sin and what will hurt you and harm you and what will help you and bless you. Again, just with the lifted hand, I want to walk the King's highway. This is the straight way. The winds are contrary. You've got to make a commitment to do this. And I pray you'll make it this morning. Because if you don't make the commitment, you don't have to follow the world. The world is like a current in a river. It will take you its way. All you have to do is not decide and follow Jesus. It will take you its way. And there's a way that seems right to a man. It feels good. It looks right. It feels right. But the end there, God's looking past your moment. You young people, listen to me carefully. I'll be 67. In January, I've come through a lot of trials and fires. And I'm going to tell you something about young people. I've been where you are, but you haven't been where I am. But I've been where you are. I know the pressures. I know the temptations. And I know what it is to be in sin and have it feel right. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Amen. God sees where you're headed. And he's calling you to do an about face. Oh, Lord, I'm praying for your sons to come to know Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can bring them in because they've closed their ear and pulled away the shoulder. But they can't run from God. They can run from you, but God will find them if you keep praying for them. Can you say amen? God will find them. God will find them. I'm praying for your husband and the family that you're in right now. God can do what you can. They've closed the ear. Pulled away the shoulder. Don't be discouraged. God is at work. God is at work. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for these hands that were raised. Oh, all across this audience. Lord, we need this message. We need this message. We need this wonderful message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is a saving Jesus. He came to seek and to save the lost, to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to open the eyes of the blind. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about salvation. It's about deliverance. Hallelujah. It's about revival. Holy Ghost revival. Coming back to the church of the living God. Let's give him some praise before we go home. Leave if you're ready. But God is here and God is working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.